Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah,
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio.
Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. I got you for 4 hours as we got you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side, and we're taking your calls on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July weekend. I know I did. Had a little extended break there. Glad to be back. I did speak to you on Saturday. But hopefully everyone had a nice, healthy, fun, the weather was great weekend. And now we're back at it. Back at it. Thankfully, neither of these two teams play today. We got one more week to the All-Star break that the Yankees desperately need. But obviously, the series, we'll start with the Subway Series. And really, as bad as it was for the Yankees, I mean, look, you look at it both ways. Obviously, the Mets feel a lot better about themselves. They come off winning those two games against the Brewers after blowing the first game of that doubleheader, winning the next two games, winning a series, heading into the Subway Series with the pitching matchups clearly favored. The New York Yankees, as much as Marcus Stroman has been bad this year, at least he's a major league pitcher. And then you've got, you know, obviously Rodon Montas. Montas just coming back, miserable start his last time out. And Rodon being one of the better pitchers in the American League, if you could believe that, for a lot of the season. And then Max Fried. So for the Mets to awaken offensively, hit the big home run from McNeil, which really is the moment, defining moment of the series. But they wake up offensively. They score enough. Juan Soto with the two-run home run to start it and kind of doesn't do all that much after that, but has a decent enough series. They win two out of three. They win four in a row at one point. They go into this game kind of with the gravy mentality. But if you look at it, you've got teams that both make base running mistakes, both make managerial decisions that make us scratch our heads. Like, still not great baseball from either one of these teams. But the Mets at least have answers, and that's kind of where I want to start, because the Subway Series is important, and the Mets take two out of three. And now, for the overall series, it's 3-3. No one gets to brag all that much. The Yankees take two out of three in their building. The Mets take two out of three in their building. The big key moment is that McNeil home run, an opportunity for the Yankees to win the series by taking the first game, is snuffed out by a big-time McNeil home run. But the issues with the Mets is the offense and the runners in scoring position all year, but you're starting to see the offense kind of wake up a little bit. Soto has obviously been great for a month now, although he's not an all-star. We can get to that at 888-808-1019. You're seeing some of the different things, but at least it feels like there are answers for the Mets. One, they still have a closer in Diaz, who you trust implicitly. The offense, like I said, is starting to come around, and you look at it, the top is certainly dangerous. You've got the grand slam from Nimmo in game two of Saturday as they explode offensively. You know, obviously Alonso with home runs. So you're starting to feel a little bit better about this offense that has really struggled all year, and certainly part of this long period of losing that they've had over the last 3 weeks. And the pitching staff right now has clearly been the biggest issue, and at least you feel like Senga is hopefully a week away. You're looking at Montas maybe a little bit more than that, but not much, to the point where the Mets don't even want to call up a spot starter from the minor leagues because there's really no place to keep him, and you don't want to bring up these top prospects, or at least David Stearns doesn't want to bring up top prospects and put them into the rotation only for a week. So the biggest issue for the New York Mets coming out of this series right now is obviously the starting pitching, but at least you feel there are some answers. And yes, the deadline could present answers in the bullpen and different spots, obviously an issue in center field. But the issue with the New York Yankees right now, despite the victory, which was a much-needed victory in yesterday's game. Obviously, Max Fried only goes five, gets into trouble in the fifth, gives up the two runs, but manages to get through it. Some bad defense again from the New York Yankees. Then ultimately, the great play from Bellinger in the outfield, the double play on a ball that was clearly a catch. I don't know what we're looking at, but he comes through with the defensive play. They turn another double play. You get Williams at the ninth, a little help from the umpire. We'll get through all these different things as we get through the show here. But he gets through a clean ninth inning. Yankees take a game they absolutely had to win, a game that would have been a disgrace if they had lost, considering the pitching advantage and who the Mets were throwing in this game. And they had a five-run lead that you're still terrified going through this game that they're going to blow. And if that play isn't made by Bellinger out and left, there is no doubt they are going to lose the game. Even if it's just a single, if that ball is caught on a hop, they are going to lose that game. They needed that double play to beat the New York Mets when the New York Mets weren't trying. The manager pitches to Aaron Judge. They're throwing out slop that don't even belong in the minor leagues. The Yankees have their ace on the mound, and we are clinging with our fingernails to the first win in the last eight games. So there is no mistake. The New York Yankees are still in the midst of one of the worst stretch of baseball we have seen from this team, and we have seen this every single year over the last 3 years, and this could take the cake with how bad they've been. And worse than that, it truly feels like answers are hard to come by. And right now, for me, as we leave the Subway Series, we both get a day off, both teams. We got a week leading in. The Yankees have Seattle and the Cubs leading into the All-Star break. To me, the story is the New York Yankees and how this team is not only falling apart, but tell me how you put it back together. And we'll get to the manager and we'll get to the GM, but and how the feel around the team is and the message given to the players and all the stuff you guys all want to talk about. I've been threatened on Twitter that the calls are coming. Please bring them on. 888-808-1019. But to me, right now, in the microcosm, looking at the New York Yankees today, they don't have answers in some of the spots you desperately need answers from. Like this bullpen right now, there is not a single name after watching Jonathan Loaisiga enter the game in the sixth inning and just immediately give a base hit after base hit. He can't make a play himself. He botches that play on the Jeff McNeil ground ball two different ways. Right now, you don't trust Leiter in a big spot. You can't trust Weaver in a big spot after what he's done over his last five outings and what he's done since coming back. And Williams, although he does have a clean inning in this game, is helped out by the umpire and still terrified. Right now, where are the answers? The rotation just lost Clark Schmidt. You're throwing Will Warren. You're throwing, I guess they're going to bring up Schlittler from the minor leagues to start this week against Seattle. You've got Max Fried, Carlos Rodon. That's about all you have you can trust right now. And Carlos Rodon continues to prove, as he did on Saturday, yet again, that you can't put any faith into him in a big spot. So you have a rotation right now where you thought, at least for a while, that this was coming together. If you looked at it, this team is now, and I said this on Saturday, it is in full transition mode from a team with an offensive slump. And that's what was causing them games. The Red Sox series, the Angels series. The problem with the New York Yankees were they weren't hitting. After having the best offense in the American League, scoring the most runs in the American League, they went ice cold. You saw a big-time drop-off from Grisham. You saw a big-time drop-off from Goldschmidt. Obviously, Anthony Volpe became just almost, of course, the Yankees won't do it, almost unplayable.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And the offense went ice cold while the pitching was still excellent. You were still getting big-time starts from Will Warren. You were still getting big-time starts from Clark Schmidt, who almost threw a no-hitter, which I'm sure now is going to get thrown back out into the conversation now that he's looking at Tommy John. The bullpen was still pretty good. You had Cruz, and that injury is a killer as well. So when you look at it, they have transitioned from a team that was clearly struggling, making base running mistakes, absolutely. The defense has started to let them down, no doubt, after starting the year much better defensively. It has completely fallen apart, and we'll get into Jazz and DJ LeMahieu, which still, and I said this on Saturday, and I mean it. I know a lot of you have been puzzled by a million things that the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman, and Aaron Boone have done over the last 8 years. I know that there are many situations that have made you scratch your head, from Devi Garcia being pulled for J-Hap in the 2020 playoffs, a million different things, lineups every day. I know we all have problems with a million things the Yankees do. I have never in my life, watching the New York Yankees, been more perplexed than what they are doing at third base with Jazz and DJ LeMahieu at third and second. I have absolutely no idea. I understood it when they started it. Jazz played third base last year. DJ LeMahieu's more comfortable at second base. His arm is weak right now. You don't know if he can make the throws from third base. At the trade deadline, you got to be flexible. You might pick up a middle infielder. You might have to pick up a second baseman who can't play third. Who knows? You want somebody on the roster to have a steady, you know, presence at third base, someone who's played a lot of games at third base. It might have to be Jazz even after the trade deadline, because you'd love to trade for a third baseman, but who knows? With how these trade deadlines go now with the new playoff format, you don't know, so you got to be flexible. I understood it. I was on board with it. I could buy it. And then when you watch it for 3 weeks and it's killing you on a daily basis to continue to throw it out there, as now Jazz has a sore shoulder from making the throw from third base. I have never seen the Yankees deliberately make themselves worse the way I have seen them make themselves worse defensively with Jazz at third base and DJ LeMahieu at second, who cannot move. I don't know how many balls we have to see go underneath his glove before we recognize he does not have the range to play second base. Put him at third, and I don't care if he has to roll the ball to first base. Let's give it a try, because it is a disaster. That situation is hard to take. Of anything I've ever seen, oh, this guy should be in the lineup every day. He should be hitting leadoff. Why is Judge hitting second? All the different things that we argue on a daily basis forever and ever because we hate them. I get it. I push back on a lot of it. This one makes no freaking sense to me. They are hurting their own team on a daily basis. I can't figure it out. So you've got a poor defensive team with over the way they've been playing the last few weeks, and I don't know what they're going to be able to do to fix that. They don't seem to want to move Jazz off a third. We have to wait for the deadline before we have any kind of answer to that. Now you've got a rotation that you can really only trust Max Fried, because everybody else in it is either a rookie, washed up, or Carlos Rodon, who's great throughout most of the year but is continuing to prove he can't pitch in big games, and you've got a bullpen that I literally cannot trust a single player in it. Like, we thought, oh, how does he go to Leiter here? How does he go to Loaisiga here? How does he go to Weaver here? How does he go to Willie? Like, you, every time a guy comes in, we watch the games, as soon as they put in Loaisiga, he gives up a base hit. Then they pinch it for a 240 rookie in Mauricio, base hit. They come in, Leiter doesn't throw strikes right away. Like, there is not an ounce of comfortability. There is not an ounce of confidence in this entire bullpen. So what, to me, last week, and I know the message of telling the players that they're the best team in baseball, the best team in the American League, seems to rile up a lot of people, and I get it, and we can discuss it, 888-808-1019. I guess we should tell them they suck. I don't know. But a week ago, I was on board with that sentiment, that I still believe them to be the best team in the American League. They were just going through an offensive slump. Now, they are a bad baseball team with too many holes that you cannot fill at the trade deadline. I expect Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees to be very aggressive at the trade deadline. I don't know if you can get a starting pitcher with, I know Luis Gil is coming back, at least to that department, but when? He still has a starter to rehab assignment. He's got to make it through that without any setbacks, then get back here and have what kind of ramp up to have confidence in him making a playoff start. And with the need in the bullpen, you might end up having to put him there, but who's your third starter in a playoff series right now? The bullpen doesn't have a single name. Like, so right now, you head into a trade deadline, theoretically, where you are in desperate need of a third baseman. You are in desperate need of at least two bullpen arms. And you right now probably need a starter. That ain't gonna happen. I can promise you now. I know I'm the Brian Cashman shill and the Cashman defender, and I will tell you he's going to go out there and make moves that impact the team. He can't do all that. He's not going to be able to do all that in this trade deadline. They're not built that way. You're going to have too many teams asking, too many teams out there, and the Yankees don't have the prospects to really make impact moves at all. Will they get a third baseman, two relievers, and a starter? Maybe. Are they going to be impact guys that you feel good about? No, they're not. Carlos Rodon needs to be a given, and that you can play him in a playoff game, or you could play him in big, you could start him in big games down the stretch, and you can expect competent baseball instead of a grand slam on a 1-2 slider to Brandon Nimmo. If you can't trust him to do that after we see the most ridiculous play I've ever seen from Soto on that bunt, I'll never understand it to the day I die why Juan Soto would bunt there. And yet they give you that out and you still hang a 1-2 slider to Nimmo for a grand slam. Weaver and Williams have got to be a huge part of the back end of this bullpen or they're not going to win. And right now, it just feels like both of these teams still, even though the Mets had a four-game winning streak, I would not declare them out of the doldrums. They still have pitching issues. They still have an offense that has been better the last handful of games, but has not been good offensively with runners in scoring position all year. You're still, Reed Garrett had a great Friday 4th of July game with the two innings. That was huge to see because he's huge and important to this bullpen. But like, you got Diaz, but other than that, you still need a bullpen arm. You need a center fielder. You'd like to add maybe even another bat on top of that. And the rotation is getting some answers back. But the Mets are in a position of their own. But the Yankees in particular right now, I have a hard time seeing where the answers come from. This was a big win yesterday. And that was a great play from Bellinger. And hopefully it turns the team around. I still think offensively, which they've been better throughout the Toronto series, and through this Mets series, they've scored runs. And that's the sign of a bad team. Offense went cold while the pitching was great. Pitching is now injured with Clark Schmidt. Pitching is faltering. The bullpen's in shambles. And that's when the offense picks up his game. Just enough to find ways to lose on a daily basis. Then you get to the defense and the base running and everything else that has hampered this team over the last 3 weeks. And then you try to look forward and project how they get better. And it just feels like now with the Clark injury, the Cruz injury to the bullpen, what Weaver has become since returning back from his hamstring injury, I don't know how they get enough answers. And we can have a conversation about how the organization works and the last 15 years and they haven't won a World Series. That's fine. A lot of it is meaningless. And we're talking about this team right now. And I'm not even that concerned about the June swoon. Obviously, I'm worried about this team and their record and the idea they're now three games back when they were seven games up like 3 weeks ago. So clearly the record right now bothers me. The idea that they're terrible in June consistently bothers me less than other things I'm seeing, like getting their ass kicked by the division. I talked about this on Saturday, too. That bothers me a hell of a lot more. You want to know a trend that continues with this organization? How about the idea the teams that know them best, that play them 13 times a year, 19 times a year a couple years ago, those teams know the Yankees best and they kick the tar out of them no matter how good they are, how they're playing, where they are in the standings. Baltimore could be in last place, first place, they beat the Yankees. Tampa Bay could be in second place or last place, they beat the Yankees. The Red Sox have been down the last couple years, still find a way to own the Yankees and their closer. Like, it doesn't matter. That's more of a troubling trend to me than the idea that Junes don't go their way, especially when they end up picking it up and making the World Series last year. I really don't care about June. I care about how the teams that know them best kick the crap out of them, take advantage of them, take every base they can on them, and right now, looking forward at this team, where the hell are the answers to make them better? So yes, yesterday was a huge win. They were desperate for it. They end a losing streak. I still think they're capable of winning this division. I still think they're capable of being a much better team than they've been. But as you look at it, unless those answers come from within, unless Weaver and Williams find themselves and you can count on them, unless Carlos Rodon is going to give you big-time starts, unless this team just, unless they find a third baseman and can move Jazz over to second base, like there are too many issues with this team to move forward feeling very confident. The last time we spoke, I felt the Yankees were a slumping team with an offense that would find itself. Today, I'm very concerned about where they are moving forward because now everything else has fallen apart. 888-808-1009. So we'll talk about the Subway Series. We'll get into the different aspects of the game. We'll get to the Mets. But the state of the New York Yankees right now, after being up in the division by 7 games, walking into Toronto and getting their ass kicked for 4, coming into Citi Field, losing a heartbreaker on Friday because their most reliable reliever over the last 2 years is completely atrocious since coming back from the injury. Getting blown up because their guy they're supposed to be able to count on Saturday can't get outs in a big-time spot. And lose 2 out of 3 to the Mets and have a second 6-game losing streak in the span of 2.5 weeks. Where the hell are they right now?
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.